Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
You know, there's something happening out there, friends. Something happening in the political world that is maybe been a little bit undetected. And last night's event that I partook of in Portland might just show the way. Welcome, everybody. This is Political Coffee. It's politics with your cup of coffee. I'm your host, former state representative Jeff Krupp, fifth-generation Oregon farmer and all-around good guy. Here to share some political insight and to ask some interesting questions that you can use to be persuasive with others, stand up for your principles and your values, and to turn this state from becoming from just circling the drain and ultimately becoming Illinois or California, because we don't want that. So here's what we're talking about today, and I'll share with you. It's all about the Kate Brown recall, because it's happening, folks. And you might be surprised at how strongly it's happening. Some of you aren't because you've called and related stories to your signature gathering effort on this behalf. And folks, I'm telling you, it's happening. The question is, why? Why is it happening? Well, we know the main reasons. We'll get into that. Also, this story from InfoWars and Alex Jones. You know, when I was driving home last night from the executive club meeting, which I'll share with you, was about the Kate Brown recall last night. But as I was driving home, I was listening to another radio show, and they were talking about how dangerous it is what the Trump administration supposedly is considering, using a social credit score system to determine who can buy a gun. Now, I'm going to share with you something that happened to me this morning that relates to this, and it's scarier than heck, folks. And you ought to be concerned. Also, this, remember, I ended the show yesterday talking about how Trump is diverting money from these military construction projects, right, to fund the border wall. It's like $3.6 billion. Well, of course, Merkley and Wyden are down, or actually at a school in Portland, just condemning this. And remember why I made an offhanded comment to you about how Trump was going to get away with it. Well, I'll expand on it. And frankly, they really back up everything I said about that in this story today. It's in the Oregonian. And again, you can see all of this or most of this on OregonWatchdog.com. Well, here's the story headline from the Oregonian. Senators condemn Trump's decision to divert Klamath Falls military project money to border wall. And without knowing it, Merkley and Wyden's pledge to restore the funding actually does, it just reinforces my point, how Trump's going to get away with it. Also, there is, folks, the only way to characterize this, it's an opinion piece, an op-ed, by Oregon's Colt Gill, who has this opinion. He is Kate Brown's education advisor. It used to be superintendent of public education. The legislature changed that as a deal to, in a deal with Republicans, even in the minority, to protect charter schools, one of which is very dear to my heart because I'm the founder of it and still the president of the School Board of Oregon Connections Academy. Like, we have 4,500 students, folks, involved in public education in a charter school that's online. The deal was, as part of that, to no longer allow the superintendent of public instruction to be an elected position. So the government gets to appoint that person now. It was a deal they made with the devil, John Kitzhaber. Just kidding, folks. Well, Colt Gill writes an opinion piece in the Oregonian. And so it's called a Turning Point for Education in Oregon. And in the first paragraph, he outright lies to you. But even more importantly, what's interesting, and I'll go through this in a few moments, but friends, it's the reaction of the, and this is something that I do that is really tells you how a story is making an impact. Look at the reader comments. And I will tell you that I looked at just the first page of them, not a single positive reaction to this. And in fact, the reactions to it actually tell you exactly how this is going to play out. All of that today, plus a story about a Lebanon teen, because right now it goes to this, the story about the InfoWars story about Trump administration thinking about using a social media credit score to prevent you from buying guns. Well, if you don't get to buy a gun, can you still hurt people? Yeah, there's a story about a Lebanon teenager who has been arrested and arraigned for stabbing another teenager in a gang, what can only be described as a gang fight in some ways. Yeah, it wasn't part of a gang, but this was a fight between two friends with a lot of other people involved. It was a fight near school grounds. And it didn't have anything to do with a gun. Well, there was a BB gun used by somebody hanging on, a hangers-on, a somebody that, you know, part of your gang, your posse, whatever you want to call it. Well, teenager, nothing new here. Just teenagers have been fighting each other over stupid things. In this case, a friend stealing a friend's. Wow, that's never happened before, has it? My point with all of this is that one kid went to the hospital, and this the other kid gets arraigned for using a knife, attempted murder. It's a measure of 11 crime, folks. I mean, he almost killed the other kid. Seriously. Now, when are we going to use a social media score? When are we going to have laws that don't allow you to use a knife to kill somebody else? I'm going to get into that, all of that today. In fact, I might as well complete that thought while we're doing it. By the way, this is a show called Political Coffee. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. If I say something that you find interesting and you have your opinion about it, call. We'll take your thoughts. I'll even let you talk. I won't try to talk too much over you unless you say something that I find interesting that I want to follow up on. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, or you can send me an email to jeff@1220.am, and I'll try my best to read it on the air. jeff@1220.am. So this teenager gets arraigned in Lebanon in county court for attempted murder and first-degree assault. Okay? Serious knife wounds. All right? And this was a fight near the junior varsity baseball field at 2:30 in the night on Saturday. Okay? I mean, he almost kills this kid, right? I mean, he's got lung puncture wounds. He's got all kinds of issues. Here's the point. You guys remember the great evangelist David Wilkerson? He went into the inner city of New York City back in the 60s and was a minister there. And out of his ministry came a guy by the name of Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz just was part of the gangs, the Puerto Rican gangs. Okay. And he became a Christian, and he told these stories about how they would build what are called zip guns. You guys remember that? They would build homemade guns, and they would use them in gang fights. They would kill each other. They used knives. My point to you is that all of this stuff we're talking about, as we have these mass shootings, and as it leads us to this story about supposedly Trump considering using social media scores to determine who can buy a gun. The point of this is, if you're having conversations with other people and that becomes a conversation point, and I hope it does, as I relate to the story that happened to me this morning in doing show prep, you're not going to stop violence. Because as we have seen with the people that were killed with the knife attack in other places, you're only going to kill maybe a few less of them, depending on what method of violence you choose to use, whether it's running over people with a car, whether it's using a car bomb like Timothy McVeigh did, right? At a gun. Would anything have stopped Timothy McVeigh from doing that? Well, we put some restrictions on buying fertilizer, you can still buy the fertilizer and you can still make the bombs, folks. You can still use knives like this Lebanon teenager did. When are we going to put restrictions on the buying of knives? We're not, are we? When are we going to put restrictions on who can use a car to go kill somebody else? Are we going to use social media scores to do that? Well, I want you to think about this. Because all of this plays into this story with the headline, InfoWars. And it's on Drudge Report, and I'll get to that in a moment. But let me just tell you the headline, because I'm going to get to the caller. The headline is, Trump administration considering social credit score system to determine who can buy a gun. How far is this going to go? I mean, you want to talk about something dangerous to your liberty? It's even worse than you think, and we'll get to that. But I need to go to our first caller. Caller, good morning. Who are you, and what's your thoughts today?
Hey, this is your brother Ron out here in the valley going westbound on 22 back to the coast to work.
Hey, brother.
I want to address that situation with Lebanon with the kids. Personally, I have no faith in Linn County juvenile system. And the reason I can say that is that I've been trying to get a hold of probation officer for the last 3 days. There's a kid who pleaded guilty last year about this time for hitting a power pole. He was arrested 15 times. He just turned 18. He's still in juvenile custody. And he's supposed to be doing 5 years. I believe, and I've been told, that he's going to be released before the end of the dang year. Now, how in the heck can I trust a system that's supposed to uphold the law, mentor, and everything else, and yet Linn County kids, I know about six of them. Yesterday, you had a kid named Jumpkinen, who is now over 20 years old. He was in and out of the juvenile system in Linn County 13 times, and they finally arrested him because he was burning something on the yard, almost got an arson and theft. Okay? And in the process, Jeff, I love you like a brother, but I'm going to tell you right now, if Mr. Trump tried to do that stuff, that's no different than what China's doing with 5G technology. Is he going to be dictated by his point system? If we can't trust the FBI, the BLM, or any other government agency, as we've been exposing, the Bundys just been found not guilty in the Portland trial for the Mueller siege, and been found, had the case dismissed with prejudice, and your rights should be restored immediately. They've never been in trouble at all, and it took them. They went to try to buy a new gun, and they were told that they couldn't because the FBI, still at Nick System, said that they was still on probation, federally. It took people like ourselves to raise heck with the FBI for them to change that decision yesterday in less than 4 days. And now, don't forget, that also includes your spouses, because their spouses didn't buy guns because they said that was straw purchase.
We got to go to break.
When you got a system of this nature that you can't trust, it's time for the people to rise up and hold them accountable. That's all I got to say.
Thanks, brother. Back in a moment.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past 6 o'clock. Great to have you with us. I want to respond to what Ron just said because I think he's there. He's there at the same place I am. If Trump does this, folks, I don't think he is. I think it's fake news. And I think, frankly, that this is maybe a trial balloon being floated by somebody within the administration. I won't say who I think it is, but I think it is somebody who would like to see this happen. But I don't think Trump is ever going to go down this road, folks. Truly. He's smarter than that. He's a bright guy. All you have to do is talk to him. I have, face to face. He's a very bright man, and he has good instincts, folks. He does. You got to trust Trump. I think this is a trial balloon, but it's scarier than heck, because Ron's right. This is what they're doing in China, folks. You can't rent an apartment in China if your social media score is not good. If you've criticized the government, now how do they know that? Well, I'm going to tell you what happened to me in the morning, but right now I want to remind you that if you have pain in your body, and folks, right now I do. I tweaked my back yesterday. When I get off the air today, I got to pour some concrete, okay? And I tweaked my back yesterday. And CBD oil and cream have really lessened the pain, along with, you know, trying to stretch it and doing the other things that I need to do. It works, folks. I'm telling you, it works. So why don't you go talk to the folks that have great CBD oil products that you can have confidence in. It's not full of all kinds of bad stuff. It doesn't come from China, which, by the way, has been dumping CBD isolate into this country. I hope Trump addresses that. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down in South Commercial has great products, CBD oil products. I buy it from them. They're right down next to Safeway on South Commercial. Telling you, folks, they buy their raw CBD oil from what is produced here in the Willamette Valley in Oregon to the strongest stringent standards you can imagine. So it helps me, helps a lot of people that I know, and I bet you know some people, and if you haven't tried it, you should. Go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. Tell them you heard me talk about this every day on this radio show, because it works. You should try it too. Works for me. Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care. So let me tell you what happened to me this morning. You see, this whole social media credit score thing is based on social media. Social credit score. It's the stuff you say, you tweet about, you put on Facebook, Instagram, whatever. Let me tell you, it's even deeper than that. Because they're cataloging all of this stuff. All of this stuff is the algorithms are determining what it is that we're searching for, what it is that we're saying. Remember how many times I've told you about how you can, in a conversation, you can say that, hey, you know, I'm looking at buying a new Jeep like my wife did. And within 15, 20 minutes, we're sitting there talking, having a glass of wine. She's looking at her phone and boom, up comes an ad about Jeeps. You see, the system, as we have found out, these social media systems through our smartphones are listening to what we're saying. This is what happened to me this morning. And why you should be really scared, because it relates to this business about possible social media scoring, not just for guns, but for everything else. So this morning, you know, I get up in the morning, I read the Bible, and I go pray. And sometimes I pray out loud. I'm by myself. There's nobody around to hear me. So as I'm sitting here praying, all of a sudden one of my iPads makes that dinging noise. The dinging noise that says, hey, I'm listening to you. Do you want to have me search for something for you? Siri, right? Because I have two iPads and I have an iPhone that I use during the broadcast of the show, and I use it in the morning to do research and so forth to be able to have conversations with you about these things, because they're important. So all of a sudden it dings. And I had just mentioned in prayer out loud person's name that I pray for. And it came up on the screen, this person's name. Do you want to search for this person? Now, it's obvious that my iPads were listening to what I was saying in my conversations. The screen was black. It wasn't activated. It was listening. Now, I don't know how, and I don't know. It was obviously Siri. That's scary, isn't it? This is why I don't want smart TVs. This is why I don't want an Alexa or an Echo in my home. It's bad enough that I've got these things now listening to me when I don't want them to. Now, I'm going to find ways to fix that. I'm telling you, this really scared me this morning. Think about that. Think about if someday, it's not the Trump administration, because Trump is never going to do this, folks. But what if, God forbid, Elizabeth Warren becomes president someday? Or one of these other radical leftists, Beto O'Rourke, Robert Francis O'Rourke. Or Pete Buttigieg, or any of these people that have sold their soul with crazy left-wing ideas. What if they start using this as an excuse? Starting with guns, using social media scores. All of this is being cataloged. If your devices are listening to every word you say without your knowledge, and it's being cataloged as social media score, think about how that could be used against you, how scary that is. This is serious stuff, folks. It's also something that you can use in conversations with other people to get them thinking about all of these things, because it relates to your personal liberty. And that is such a precious thing. A lot of men and women in our country, including our founders right up to the Civil War, including to this day, have pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor to stop this from happening. Be careful. All right, when we come back, I'm going to share with you what happened last night with Bill Currier, chairman of the Oregon Republican Party, and talking about the Kate Brown recall. You don't want to miss this, because it's a little bit of an insight to what's going on and how this thing might actually happen. 6:30, you're listening to Political Coffee. Back in a moment. Don't go away. Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp. It's 24 minutes till the top of the hour, and if you want to send me an email, I'll do my best to read it on the air, because I value what you think. And that's why we, that's why it's a call-in radio talk show. And you send the email to jeff@1220.am. I will complete my thinking about, my story about what Bill Currier, chairman of the Oregon Republican Party, told the Executive Club last night about the Kate Brown recall in a moment. Ava sent me an email about Ryan Corser, who's running for Congress in as a Republican in CD5 against Kurt Schrader. And Kurt Schrader is Oregon's 12-year congressman who comes home for photo ops, Avis says. Schrader was a veterinarian before running for Congress. He filed for divorce and bankruptcy. Now he's a multimillionaire. Amy's got a website, and it's amyfororegon.com. Amyfororegon.com. I served with Kurt all 8 years that I was in the House of Representatives. And Kurt was there longer than I was. He moved from the House over to the Senate. He was always kind of a moderate Democrat. And then over time, he started drifting to the left. And he still tries to portray himself as a moderate Democrat, because the CD5, folks, is slightly Republican, or at least it was. He filed for divorce from Martha. I knew them both. The bankruptcy, I didn't know about. Now he's a multimillionaire. Yeah, he is not with the scam that everybody else uses in Congress, insider trading on stocks, which is allowed by law, even though they say it isn't, it still is, folks. But really, because he inherited several hundred million dollars from his uncle. You heard me right, folks, who was a big wheel in a part owner of some pharmaceutical. That's how he made his money. It's just interesting. And then I'll get to an interesting email from a state employee who shall remain nameless with some questions about Bill Currier. So I want to get into that. If you're just joining us, by the way, we talked a little bit about this story on InfoWars about Trump might be considering using your social media score the way the Chinese do to allow you to do anything in China, like rent an apartment or anything, in order to try to put forward some idea to combat buying guns, because all these gun violence stories that are out there. I'm telling you, folks, it ain't going to happen. Trump is not going to do this. He's smarter than this, number one, because if he did, he would lose me. I told you the story at the bottom of the hour, how this very morning, my iPads listened to me saying something, a person's name, in prayer, as I was verbalizing prayer, and it popped up. Now, that's an Apple device, and I'm telling you, all of these social media things we use, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all this stuff is being cataloged. If the government uses that, it's being used for marketing. We know that. That's how they make money. But what about if government uses it for a gun? Gun purchases ain't going to happen, folks. Trump won't do this. He's much smarter than this. This is a fake news story. Also, this lying op-ed, I'll get to that, by Colt Gill, who's Kate Brown's education advisor. In the first paragraphs of this op-ed in the Oregonian, he lies through his teeth, folks. And I'm going to tell you exactly how. It's not difficult to understand, but it's the reader comments that really blows you away, because not a single positive reader comment, at least in the first 30 or so that I read. Let's put it that way. So Bill Currier comes to the executive club last night and he talks about the Kate Brown recall. Also in the audience last night, who also got to speak for a few minutes, Bill Currier was our featured speaker, also was Michael Cross, flush down Kate Brown. Folks, both of them said that they are on track with both of their petitions to get the required number of signatures to put it to a vote of the people, folks, to recall Kate Brown. Both of them. Michael Cross said that in the first 30 days, they got over 100,000 signatures. And I want you to think about that for a moment. If Oregon's such a blue Kate, blue state, rather, that was a Freudian slip, and Kate, of course, won by the numbers that she did over Newt, why is it that so many people then would be wanting to sign these recall petitions? Now, is it just because of the things she has done? Or is it because, as I said, as I was introducing Bill Currier last night to the audience, and by the way, there was about 100 people there. I mean, it was a lot of new faces there. This is a big deal, folks. It's a really big deal. The whole country is watching this. You wouldn't think so, but it is, and I'll tell you why. If, again, out of blue Oregon, if a just elected, re-elected governor has to run an election within 35 days. She has 5 days once the signatures are certified. If they get enough signatures, she has 5 days to resign. If she doesn't, an election has to be held in 35 days. That's Oregon's constitution. If that happens in blue Oregon, the shockwaves it sends are incredible. But even more so, what happens if two recall petitions qualify for the ballot? That adds to the perplexity of this that really shouldn't perplex anybody, because there's something going on there. I said that when I started the show today, folks. It was the first words out of my mouth. There's something going on out there in Oregon that we haven't seen since 2010. 2010, there was something going on politically here in Oregon. It was an undercurrent that a lot of us who are quote-unquote political people. I had left the legislature in 07 and I was running Americans for Prosperity back then, grassroots, and we were sort of seeing, and this was the beginning of the Tea Party movement. And it was all a revulsion, a reaction against Barack Obama's policies, his ideas. That same thing is happening today. And by the way, it had profound impact in Oregon. We almost, Republicans gained 6 seats in the House, 2 seats in the Senate, almost went to a 15-15 tie in the Senate, and went to a 30-30 tie in the House. Nobody saw that coming. And I think the same thing is happening today with the recall. Democrat overreach. That's exactly what it is. It's a reaction to it. But I said this, Kate Brown has Hillary Clinton's problem. You've probably heard me say this before. She's not charismatic. And her revenge comment, you hear me running that promo for this radio show on this station. It's really true. Did that revenge comment give you an insight into her soul? And does that just rub people the wrong way? Now, I think it does. And here's why. Because one of the interesting things that Bill Currier shared with us last night is why they did it. Because Republicans in Colorado, which is a purple state that's becoming a lot more blue on purpose with a long, sustained and well-funded effort to do it, by the way. That's a whole nother broadcast. Republicans there got a recall petition on the ballot against their Democrat governor. That inspired Bill Currier and the Republicans here to look at what Brown had done and do the same thing. Now, that's one of the positives out of all of this. If, in fact, we get not one, but two, but even just getting one, if the Republican Party gets a recall petition on the ballot and forces this to happen, would it inspire other blue states to do the same thing with their governors? I think it would. I think it also portends, and it will shake the political world throughout the country, folks. Let me, a couple of reasons why. This portends, especially if Kate Brown is actually recalled. Now, you don't think Republicans are going to have enough money? Yeah, there is a way that money will come to fund a campaign against Kate Brown in that 35-day time period. And I'll tell you that in a moment. But I'm telling you, folks, if this happens, it will scare the living daylights out of the left, and it portends re-election for Donald Trump, and it portends good things for all these Republicans that are retiring, all these seats that are going to be up in Congress and for the Senate. It will send shockwaves, folks. I'm telling you, it will. Now, why would Republicans here, and this is what Bill Currier shared with us last night, why would Republicans have enough money to actually run a competitive campaign against Kate Brown? Because the other side, folks, the unions and the trial lawyers and the environmental wackos, they're all going to put all the money that Kate Brown needs to try to defend herself. It may not work. The reason that Republican money would come to Oregon is national popular vote. See, there's a lot of people that don't like from national places, states, business people that don't like, people that believe and understand that the Constitution, the Electoral College was set up to protect the rights of the smaller states against the big states. That's the bottom line, folks. And they don't like what Kate Brown advocated for and signing the National Popular Vote bill that she did. They will put money, big money, into a campaign against Kate Brown. Now, that's good news. It isn't the death penalty stuff. It isn't illegal alien driver's license. It isn't any of these things, the sales tax, none of it. None of that is what these people care about. They care about national popular vote. Well, you know what? That's fine. If we get rid of Kate Brown. Now, let me tell you why this is happening and why it's likely to succeed. Again, both of these people, Michael Cross and Bill Currier, our featured speaker last night at the Executive Club, said they are both over halfway to the number of signatures they need to get this on the ballot. And you got 40 days left, folks. You should sign both petitions. Because again, if not just one, but both of them get on the ballot, think about that. Talk about momentum. It's not just momentum from Timber Unity or from Moms Against Forced Vaccinations or the gun people. It's just not that. It's because Kate Brown's not liked. And Bill Currier said something interesting. He asked people in the room to raise their hands that were collecting signatures from others. People did. He said, how many of you have been asked why you're doing this? Only one person raised their hand. People are signing these petitions to recall Kate Brown because they don't like her. There's even more. We'll talk about that. Call
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
It is 10 minutes till the top of the hour, last segment for today, folks. You know, if you care about a legacy, you know, I think most of us do, and we care about our reputations, we should. But you know, it's a legacy. It's not necessarily your name on a street or a building. If you're in a position of power, yeah, I mean, you should care about your reputation, your legacy to some point. But really, it's what you leave behind is your family. So what if something happened to you? What would your legacy be with your family? How would your family get along with you not around anymore? Especially when it comes to monetary things. Would they be able to stay in their home? I mean, if something happened to you, what about your kids to college? I mean, just all these are serious things. And you should think about them. Nobody wants to, but you should think about them. Nothing better than leaving a legacy to your family than taking care of them. And the best way to do that is have some life insurance. You should talk to my friend Fred Thompson. He's a guy that can help you figure out how you provide for your family in case something happens to you, and do it with tax-free income. Friends, it's just never too late to plan for this. I'm quite serious. Even if you're older, it's never too late. Why don't you call Fred? 503-428-7479. 503-428-7479. So, you know, what was fascinating last night, as Bill Currier asked people in the audience, how many of you have been out gathering signatures? And at least 20, out of an audience of 100, there was at least 20 people who raised their hand. He said, how many of you have had people come up and ask you why? Only one person raised their hand. That tells you everything you need to know. People come up to sign the petitions because they don't like Kate Brown. I'm serious, folks. Lee Carter has she's a Fox personality. You see her on Fox Business. You see her on Fox News. She has written a new book about persuasion. It's about Trump's ability to persuade people. And she lists five key things. Now, this show, the whole reason I do this show is because to talk about these political issues in a way that allows you to be persuasive. Now, I'm going to get that book. I'm going to read it because I want to learn as much as possible about how to persuade other people. So if we're going to save this state, we do it with prayer. Just turn off your devices or put them in the closet or something while you're praying so they don't listen to you like I had happened to me this morning in prayer. You got to pray, and we have to be individually persuasive with others. Now, one of the other interesting things about the analysis, Representative Mike Nierman is doing the voter signature analysis for the Republican Party. And he has the whole database. Here's what's interesting. 31% of the people right now that are signing these petitions for the Republican Party, I don't know what it is for Michael Cross, but I know it is. It's probably the same for him. But 31% are not Republicans. Of that total amount, not the 31%, but of the total amount that are signing the petitions, 18% of them are Democrats. Now, folks, in blue Oregon? What? You gotta be kidding me. It's true. This, folks, is why you should be encouraged and why you should double your efforts to go get signatures for this thing. We'll have money to run a campaign. Now, we're all going to have to chip in. We're all going to have to put up signs and, again, be persuasive with others. Because this whole recall effort, as many of you have pointed out to me, it's an educational opportunity to educate people who are not paying attention to what Kate has done. But not just Kate. It's the regressive totalitarian Marxists that support her. What are we going to do about them? Now, that's an interesting thing from this state employee. He wants me, in this email he sent to me, the emails to Jeff at 1220.am, or you want to comment in the last few minutes of the show, 503-589-1220. He said, can you have Bill Currier back on and have him thoroughly answer the following questions about the 2020 legislative session coming and the November 2020 campaign? regarding the upcoming legislative session, if a recall for Queen Kate is achieved and on the ballot, whether or not she's actually recalled, what are you going to do to make sure that all the progressive, regressive is what they are, totalitarian Marxists who advanced her agenda, people that helped her in the legislature, tied to her political demise? Do you have a strategy to defeat more than Queen Kate that includes her liberal outcome or cronies? How are you working with the Republican Senate and House leaders and members to ensure that they do not compromise beginning in February during the excellent question to ask regarding state elected offices in November 2020? What are you doing to try to have one clear conservative candidate run for each major electoral office, as opposed to two or more that cannibalize each other? Are you looking for a fighter with a bold message or a polished, smooth, and politically correct candidate who everybody thinks is cute? Are you going to increase, or rather, are you going to orchestrate or allow outside political pundits to dictate the message and manner Republican Party candidates craft and share their message vision with the voters? How are you going to change the way medium and message Republicans communicate to reach the heart of voters? People today listen with their feelings and think with their hearts. What unique, innovative ways are you going to employ to reach the massive numbers of women and millennials in the metropolitan areas, unaffiliated or independent voters, and disengaged rural voters, to understand and respond to the conservative Republican message? And finally, what are you doing right now to find the best conservative candidates for every open Senate and House seat? And how will you creatively and powerfully financially ensure their success in the 2020 campaign? Now, those are fair questions to ask. And typically, state parties have a hand in all of that. But so does also House and Senate leadership. And they have to buy in, well, to the central premises of this person's questions. Also got an email from Dave. Thanks for your email about Islamists should not be in Congress. Traitors in the swamp voted to let them in. That's an interesting thing. We'll see to that. And Nick, I promise you, I'm going to get to your email. And it'll be a future response. This op-ed by Colt Gill. He's the education advisor to Governor Kate Brown. He lies in the first paragraph. I'll just read the first paragraph. I started teaching at Crestwell in 1989 in my 30 years in Oregon as a teacher, principal, school district administrator, and superintendent. I have been part of a system that, with few exceptions, has been asked to do more for its deserving students with fewer resources every year. That is a bold-faced lie, folks. Look at K-12 education funding. Ever since Measure 5, passed in 1990, which has saved you, the Oregon property owners, about $20 billion, yes, you heard me right, billion dollars in unnecessary property taxes. From that time, you look at the actual spending from the legislature, it's gone up every year and bigger amounts every year. And you ought to see how he's excoriated by the readers of this article. He's a liar, folks. This is sad. I'll get into more of that tomorrow. Tomorrow, by the way, is Freedom Friday. Join us then, won't you? You'll be free to talk about whatever you want. Get out there, make it a great day. Pray for me as I have to pour concrete today with a bad back. See you then.